whoever got the most votes had to leave Athens for 10 years. Cleisthenes' idea here was that anybody who really angered the demos, either by doing things that were foolish and stupid on the one hand, or by doing things that were damaging to the interests of the people on the other hand, would get their comeuppance by being thrown out. Obviously, you didn't campaign for ostracism, but people might, and people did, get ostracized. So ostracism, potsherdism, is actually what the word means, from the ostraca. After Cleisthenes, there were some additional reforms that came into the Athenian system. For instance, from 490 until 478, the Greek world fought a massive war with the Persians, a war in two great phases. We'll have something to say about those Persian wars in a couple of later lectures. For now, I simply want to say that it was the Athenian navy, finally and above all else, it was the Athenian navy that won the war. The lowest class citizens in the state, the ones who had been left at the bottom by Solon, the ones who had really not been quite fully incorporated by Cleisthenes, were the rowers in those ships. They found a great leader in the Athenian general, we would actually say admiral, Themistocles. Themistocles then managed to get laws passed through the Athenian assembly, essentially to make the lowest class, represented by those sailors, fully able to participate publicly and politically at Athens, to vote, to hold office, and so on. So, in crucial respects then, the last sort of pieces of the Solonic and Cleisthenic limitations were knocked down. Now, in the 460s and 450s, Athens experienced a period of leadership by two men, Ephialtes and then by Pericles. Ephialtes and Pericles together removed, in many respects, the last vestiges of aristocratic privilege in the Athenian system. They did basically two things, a number of things, but two that I think are particularly important. First, they stripped the old Areopagus of all its rights of judicial review. This is a body not unlike the ephors in Sparta. It was a body of eupatrids who could sort of pass judgment on the constitutionality of measures passed by the assembly. It remained as a kind of an institutional brake on the full operations of the Athenian assembly. So the last review powers of the Areopagus were struck down. The second thing they did is they introduced pay for public service. Now, this is often for us in contemporary America a controversial issue. Should we do it at all? Do we pay our legislators too much money? Should we pay them less money? Do they have the right to vote themselves raises? We get very heated up about this issue. And we should. That's fine. But there's something very fundamental about paying people for public service. If you did not do it, and if you were an Athenian or you were an American living right now, only the idle rich could serve. Only the idle rich, not even the working rich. Because if you're a person who has to get up every morning and go to your job, you can't for months at a time, weeks at a time, months at a time, or maybe even more or less permanently over a period of years, simply give up everything you do. So pay for public service is also, in critical respects, a democratizing force. So we get to about 450, and as a result of one crisis after another, virtually all men can participate. Virtually all men can vote. And there are no checks on the system such as wealth. If I'm not wealthy, I can't afford to serve. Or an old aristocratic body serving as a break on the laws. How did the system actually work in practice? Well, the Athenian system had a very weak executive. The executive officers, they were called archons. Archon in Greek means a ruler. There were three of them elected every year. They were relatively weak. They weren't powerful. They weren't as powerful, for example, as the kings at Sparta. The critical institution at Athens became the assembly. It was here that the ordinary Athenians could participate. And from all indications we have, indications in the Greek historians, indications in dramas, indications in surviving speeches from some of the great Athenian orators, debate was vigorous in the assembly. People really did speak. They really did argue. That's important if we want to think about a democratic system. It's also true to say that there was a danger of demagoguery in Athens. A demagogue is a leader of the people, and the word does carry a slightly unsavory connotation. The assembly was, certainly its critics said, too easily swayed. It was too changeable. Now, that produced a situation that also means that there was really no continuity in Athenian policy. Or at least constitutionally, there was no necessity of continuity. Remember, the Spartan system was designed, in a sense, to ward off change, to make change almost impossible. The Athenian system could accommodate change, but what it couldn't do very easily was put the brakes on change. We'll have occasion in a couple of later lectures to see some of the consequences, some of the implications of that fact. For now, I just want to remark it. Athens was freewheeling and wide open, and that's a good thing. But Athens was freewheeling and wide open, and that's not such a good thing. You see, there's two stories here, sort of good news and bad news. For whom did this system work? Well, for Athenian citizens. Who's that? Adult males with two Athenian parents. Perhaps 10% of a population of 400,000 people. So, for whom did it not work? Well, it wasn't for women. It wasn't for metics. Metics were resident aliens at Athens, people who had come there to work, people who had come there as merchants. It didn't work for slaves, who became increasingly numerous in the Athenian scheme of things. So, for something like 10% of the population, this was a remarkably democratic system. For almost everybody else, it was not. How was it financed? Well, after the Persian Wars, some of the Greeks, led by Sparta, simply wanted to go home. War's over, that's that. Some of the Greeks said no, there remain Greeks on islands in the Aegean Sea and on the Ionian coast, on the western shore of Anatolia, who are still under Persian domination. Let us go and free them. Athens led that party. For a period of years, there